How much are they paying you that you can afford rent on this? The door shut behind him, and his hands went to my hips, forcing me face first against the wall. That was rhetorical, I said when his body flattened mine. He sank his teeth into the flesh of my earlobe. It was controlling and hot. I just meant your place is nice.
It's not my place. I mean, it is and it isn't. I'm renting it from a friend who holds the lease.
Hands caressed the curves of my body, holding me against the wall.
He's in Japan for the next year and didn't want to lose the place, so his company pays half the rent and I pay the other. Otherwise, no, I couldn't afford it.
He released me and let me wander further inside. It's not like the apartment was a penthouse, but it was spacious with an open kitchen where everything looked brand new. The living room was just beyond the granite breakfast bar, and the back wall was one seamless sheet of glass, floor to ceiling. This apartment had the most unbelievable view of North Beach possible. Even in the dead of the night, I could see the outline of the lake and the marina. Wow, I said.
I'm already dreading moving out. Nothing's going to compare.
He set the bottle of wine on the counter and opened a drawer, fishing out a corkscrew. I saw wine glasses hanging underneath a cabinet and pulled them out, setting them right side up for him. I studied his long fingers as he cut the foil. Not being allowed to ask questions made starting a simple conversation difficult, and he seemed to like the silence. I didn't. I could be smart about it. He usually responded when I made a comment or observation. I don't like not being able to ask you questions about how tonight happened.
That must be frustrating for you.
He uncorked the bottle, filled the glasses half full with the red wine, and passed me one. He was playfully smug about his rules. I took a sip of the wine. It was dry, and I didn't care for it, and when I set the glass down, a smile twitched on his lips.
You don't like my $12,000 bottle of wine.
It doesn't taste like 12 grand to me.
But I know you do.
I was nervous when he closed the distance between us and an arm went tight around my waist. His head dipped down to mine, and he kissed me, his mouth dominating and possessive. It sent my heart rate through the roof. Jesus, this man knew how to kiss.
What are you thinking about?
He asked. I'm glad you didn't kiss me during negotiations. His brown eyes were curious.
Why?
Because I would have agreed to your opening bid, or I might have countered with a lower one. He seemed pleased to hear that. He set down his glass and put his hands on me, lifting me up to seat me on the countertop. Granite was cold against my burning skin. This next kiss was more aggressive. It dripped with lust and the promise of more pleasure as his hand skimmed over my thighs, working up. I set one hand on his defined jawline as if I could steady myself by touching him, but it only made the room spin harder. I could feel control slipping away. Logan grew hard between my legs, pressing himself against my center. His hand went to my shoulder and he guided me to lean back, to lie on the counter, his hand brushing over my breast as I went. But I only went back so far, staying up on my elbows. He tugged my skirt to my hips, working it up slowly and methodically as he licked his lips and gave me a view of the tongue that had me practically begging for him on that table. Oh, fuck.
You want to watch?
He had a wicked look in his eyes. The shy girl I had once been was nowhere. I'd destroyed her when I marched into Logan's office earlier this week. Who'd have guessed I'd end up here, enjoying my punishment? I didn't get to watch last time. He didn't take my panties off. His fingers traced the seam just inside my thigh and pulled the fabric to the side. Then he bent down, set my legs on his shoulders, and kissed me right where I wanted him to. Logan's eyes fell shut like he was savoring me. He slipped his tongue through my flesh, used his hands to spread me open, and licked. Intense, delicious heat spread from it. It was addicting. He was addicting. Watching him feast on me was exquisite torture. I had to fight for each breath when he opened his eyes and checked to see if I were still viewing the show. I'm going to come, I half pleaded,
No, you're not.
My elbows gave out, and my back was cold against the granite. Logan not relenting or giving permission. Need clawed inside me and screamed for release. I had to focus elsewhere, fucking anywhere else. Do not think about the tongue lapping at you. My head fell to one side, and I latched on to the first thing I saw. A framed poster on the wall. It wasn't an artistic photograph or reproduction of famous artwork. It was an advertisement for a sports car. I'd worked with him long enough to recognize his style anywhere.
When did you...
No, no questions. God only knows what kind of delicious punishment he'd give me right now. I've never seen that one before. It's amazing. He lifted for a split second to see what I was talking about, and his eyes softened with the compliment.
I did it right before you started.
When his head dipped back down, I grabbed a fistful of his soft hair, tunneling my fingers through it. It was like my praise lit a match inside him, for he was much more intense and urgent, somehow as desperate for the orgasm as I was. He put one long finger inside me and curled it back, quickly finding the spot that would send me tumbling out of control.
Please, I need to,
I gasped.
Say my name when you do it.
Pleasure slammed into me, burning across my skin, across every nerve. I jerked, and my knees sent one of the wine glasses plummeting to the tile floor, followed by the sound of glass shattering. I think I would have screamed his name regardless of his demand.
You know I have neighbors,
he teased, releasing his hold on my panties, and they snapped back in place. I fought to return to Earth.
Sorry about the glass.
His strong hand closed around one of my wrists, and he helped me sit up.
Don't worry about it. That's my fault for letting you come.
For letting me... Shit. Phrase it as a statement.
It was like some twisted version of Jeopardy. You say that like you don't want it to happen. His hand threaded into my hair and pulled back, tilting my head up to him.
I'd prefer it if you only came on my cock.
It could have been his words or the recent orgasm, but I shuddered.
Would you like that?
His face was seductive and powerful.
To come on my cock again?
I didn't have to do this. I'd made the money I needed to. I could leave the envelope with my name scrawled on it on his countertop, since our business transaction was complete. I'd come home with him to get answers. But now I had a new goal. What he was asking, what my boss was asking, was if I wanted to sleep with him.
Yes.
Oh, fuck yes. Chapter 7. He didn't clean up the wine or the broken glass. He ordered me to wrap my arms and legs around him so he could carry me into his darkened bedroom. He took one knee and laid me back on the perfectly made queen-sized bed, stepping away to slip off his suit coat and disappeared into the walk-in closet. The light flicked on, and I rose to sit, watching him. Fingers worked the buttons of his dress shirt, cuffs first and then to the collar, and down. When it was peeled off and placed on a hanger, my eyes lusted over every delicious curve of his muscles. My brain-to-mouth filter stopped working.
Holy shit, you're gorgeous.
He blinked, like he was stunned. Surely a man like him had heard that or something similar before, but then again, I'm sure it's always nice to hear.
I believe that's my line,
he said.
Take off your dress.
Why did I like this? A man ordering me around was supposed to incur my fiery wrath. Instead, I lifted onto my knees and obeyed, dragging the fabric up and over my head, tossing it aside so I was kneeling on the bed in only my panties. My breasts bared so he could fuck me with those fascinating eyes.
When you came in on Wednesday,
he undid his belt and stepped out of his pants.
I didn't recognize you until you sat down at your desk.
He approached the bed, locking a hand onto my hip where the panties clung, and began to ease them down.
I almost had to jack off under my desk after you left my office.
What? This side of him was shocking and exciting.
That would have been highly inappropriate.
He smirked. Oh, you think so?
While he was peeling my underwear down, I shoved a hand beneath his boxers and wrapped my fingers around his dick. Maybe it was a side effect from the straps at the club, but I loved the feel of him. I loved being able to touch, to feel him jerk in my hands, to get to tease him as he did to me. I want to go down on you, I said, not knowing where that came from. I mean, I liked doing that, but it wasn't something I usually announced.
What a surprise,
he said, deadpan.
I want that too.
He sat with his back against his headboard and discarded his boxers, his dick standing at attention. I'd already forgotten how large he was, and he must have noticed the concern on my face.
What?
You're huge, I said, uneasy.
This shouldn't be new information to you.
Oh, I didn't know he could be funny. How am I going to fit that in my mouth? He froze.
Was that a question?
Nope. I didn't give him time to react or think of a way to punish me. I slid down on the bed, opened my mouth as wide as it could go, and took him inside. His breath left in a hiss.
Seems to fit all right.
I loved going down on men, loved knowing he wasn't thinking about anything else but what I was doing to him. I ran my tongue over the velvety head of his dick and began to slide him in and out. Controlling him this way? It was addictive. I used my hands on him, squeezing one hard and pumping him when I took my mouth off for a moment. Then I kept my lips tight and shoved him back inside, making him groan. I sucked and flicked my tongue, doing everything I could to return some of the pleasure he'd given me, pushing thoughts away that this man held sway over my career. I didn't want to think about the repercussions of this night. He'd started it anyway. Logan was different when he was in my mouth, under my power. He seemed scattered, not his commanding self, and he was silent. Usually that's what I wanted, but not tonight. I could ask him what he liked to encourage him to talk, but that would violate a rule. Screw it. Do you like fucking my mouth? He was breathing heavy, and it seemed like he struggled to process the question. An alarm must have gone off in his head because he hooked me under my arms and pulled me off of him. He brought me up, pulling one of my legs across his lap, positioning me over him.
I like fucking your tight little pussy better.
Holy fuck the things he said. It was such a turn-on. He leaned in and my eyes fell closed, anticipating his kiss. I craved it, and just as the faintest hint of his lips touched mine, they were gone. I moved in, but he turned away. His hands cupped my head and held it tight so he could hover just a breath away. He knew how badly I wanted his mouth on mine.
Don't break the rules, he warned.
He put his lips on my neck and sucked hard. When he pulled back, he chuckled.
I cannot tell you how unprofessional I think hickeys are.
I tried to scramble off of him, but he held me tight.
I'm joking,
he said.
I didn't mark you, but I could do it other places.
There was a pulsing ache in between my legs. How did he mean? A hickey somewhere else? Another spanking? Maybe this one less playful than the last time? The room felt like it was 1,000 degrees. It was dark, but the moon outside was full and bright, and he'd left the light on in the kitchen, which streamed in through the open bedroom doorway. His eyes were warm and intense as they searched my face.
You're going to hold back your orgasm, because it'll be better when I allow it, so I need to know when you're getting close.
You seem to be pretty aware already. I was a little annoyed at how quickly he had command over my body.
I want to push it a little further.
He leaned over to the side table and opened a drawer, retrieving a foil packet.
Green means go. Yellow means you're getting close. And red means stop, because you're right on the verge.
You want me to tell you to stop? Yes, that was a question. Get over it. He tore open the condom wrapper and laughed.
It's okay. Yeah, I'm trusting you to stop yourself. It'll be worth it. I promise.
His hand moved between our bodies, and he rolled the condom on. His hands were warm on my waist.
I should probably tell you, I said, that I've already had more tonight than I've ever had, so it might not happen for me.
I'm willing to try if you are.
He urged me down, so I pressed against him. He was right at my entrance, and so hard. God, I wanted him. Okay. I swallowed a breath. Could I do this? Green. He pushed inside me slowly, lowering me down onto him. Although I was already a little sore from earlier, it felt amazing. Yellow. It came out breathless.
You can't just say yellow because it feels good.
He gave me a devious smile.
We haven't started moving yet.
Then he started fucking me. I say that because even though I was on top, he was in complete control. He kept one hand on my hip and guided my pace. His eyes locked on mine while his other hand cupped my breast. His thumb brushed over my nipple, and I arched my back into his touch, enjoying the sensation. I filled my hands with his head, running my fingers through his hair. It was so soft.
Kiss me,
he demanded. How the hell could I say no to that? The rock of our bodies together made our kiss spin out of control until it was aggressive and passionate, and I had to tear my lips away from him. Yellow, I gasped. This time he knew it was a real warning. If he slowed down any, I couldn't tell. He had both hands on my breasts, squeezing them together and pressing me back enough so he could dip his head down to them and pull a nipple in his mouth. Oh, shit. My nipple was like a hard knot and so sensitive, I could feel every subtle caress of his tongue. It came from me firmer this time. Yellow, Logan. Heat was pouring through my body and electricity danced down my spine. So when he nipped at me and thrust hard, it left me with no choice. Fuck, Red! All movement ceased, and the only sounds were his steady breathing and my gasps. I sounded like I was drowning, and I felt that way too. He pulled my face to his and kissed me. His tongue explored my mouth, inviting me to do the same. I did. When the kiss ended, he leaned back and grinned.
Green?
Green. I whispered against his lips. Oh man, I was in trouble when his hips began to move again. I set my hands on his shoulders and fought him for control over the pace, but it didn't really matter. As long as he was sliding in and out of me, it felt too good. I forced myself down on him and widened my knee so I could take him as deep as possible.
Yellow,
he said, and I froze. A smile bloomed across my face, thrilled to learn this went both ways. He let me ride him until I got to Yellow, and then he took over again. He brought me all the way to Red, where my thighs burned and my body begged for release. I didn't ask for permission. I knew he'd say no. My legs felt like jelly when he helped me off of him and rolled me onto my back. He was on top, my breasts flattened under his broad chest. I couldn't believe this man. The one in the office, a mere 30 feet from my desk, could be so damn good at what he was doing. I dragged my nails down his back the first time I got to Red and sank my teeth into his shoulder the second. It had been next to impossible to tell him Red the last time. My body was clamoring for mutiny from my mind. He'd gotten to Red for the first time and lifted himself up on his arms, his gaze on me beneath him. I watched the rise and fall of his chest. Please. I tried not to sound desperate. No more. He didn't answer me. Instead, he climbed off and turned me on my side so I was facing the large window, my back against his chest. You feel like you go on forever. I sighed when he slid into me. I closed my eyes, letting loose a tear of frustration.
Are you ready? It's going to be intense.
He whispered behind my ear. Like this hadn't been intense already? I wouldn't be able to say it again, and it fell from my mouth broken and shaky. Green. His thrusts were slow and deep until I got to Yellow, and then he put a hand on my hip and drove into me.
Not yet,
he said, slowing. No, I cried. The hand left my hip, yanked my knee up, and pulled the leg back over him.
so he could set his fingers on my clit. The moment he thrust into me, his fingers moved, touching me right on my core.
"Give me what's mine," he ordered.
Intense wasn't a strong enough word when it began. The pleasure was too much, and it was painful. Stealing my breath away when the sharp edge of the orgasm overtook me. And as the edge faded, the orgasm kept coming, wave after wave of it. He'd stopped moving, maybe to let me ride it out, but when all of my muscles clamped down on him, it pulled him along with me. His hoarse voice rang out in a long groan of my name as he thrust hard and deep. That only made it better, and so much worse. I think I blacked out for a second when he pulsed inside of me. The hand on my clit had slowed but not stopped, and I was so overly sensitive down there that my brain could no longer interpret the pleasure. It felt like pain. "Stop," I moaned, still coming. Even the slightest touch from him made my whole body flinch and contract. "Oh, God, please."
"Are you begging me to stop letting you come?"
He couldn't catch his breath, even though his climax was ending. The hand was gone, and finally the grip of the orgasm released its hold. My hand had a fistful of his comforter, and when I let my hand relax, he pulled out. I half laughed, half sobbed into the pillow beneath my head. The bed shifted as he rolled, or collapsed onto his back. After a moment of rest, I heard him pull a Kleenex out of the box on the nightstand. He must have gotten rid of the condom.
"Are you okay?"
He slipped an arm around me, turning my chin toward him.
"You're shaking."
His eyes were full of concern. "Yeah, I'm good," I said. "Don't expect me to walk anytime soon, though. I need to lie here and die for a little while."
"Do I need to tell you how fucking amazing that was? Because it was."
"It was just okay for me." He gave me a knowing look, his eyes gleaming.
"I'll have to try harder next time."
Next time? I wanted to ask him what exactly he had in mind, but I couldn't. My body was too spent to risk anything, and it would be morning in a few hours. I could ask him anything then. That is, if I was spending the night, which I was going to need to do. I wasn't going to be able to stand for a while. He curled me into his arms without saying a word. A strong hand brushed the hair on my neck out of his way. Logan kissed me there, and I passed out. Chapter 8. I was in my boss's bed, naked. The curtains on his picture window were open, and it was bright as day in the room. Day, not morning. Oh my God, what time was it? I rolled over and looked at his alarm clock. It was 9-something. That wasn't so bad, but there was a very naked Logan Stone beside me, snoring softly. The one who'd mentioned he wanted to promote me. He looked good in a suit, but better like this. Peaceful. Sexy. Wait, no. Terrifying. I forced myself to roll over and admire the other view in the room, like the living room. It was floor-to-ceiling glass, and there were no buildings in between his and the beach. No one could see in here. No wonder he didn't shut the curtains. I was sore from the blissful beating he'd put on my body last night. My arms ached from the straps. My abs hurt from holding my legs around him on the table, and the downstairs situation? Painful, but totally worth it. There was no way we were going to be able to have any of those shenanigans this morning, and I suspected when he woke that was going to be on his agenda. He'd kiss me, and that would convince my body to want to endure it. I think his kiss could get me to do anything. I sat up gingerly and rose to my bare feet, padding across the carpet to his side of the bed, where my panties and dress were in a heap on the floor. I had no intention of leaving. I just needed a layer of clothes on for protection, to slow me down in case he woke and set his lips on mine. My eyeshadow and mascara had relocated to under my bottom lashes, and I wiped it away with my fingers, doing my best to not look like I'd had the brains fucked out of me last night. My hair was flat and listless. I could go get the hair tie in my purse I'd left on the kitchen counter.
Logan was still out cold. In the corner of the bedroom, there was a small upholstered chair. A thought formed in my head. He'd wake eventually, discover I wasn't in the bed, and when he sat upright, I'd be waiting for him in that chair, dressed, legs crossed, and holding the upper hand, ready to demand answers. I practically ran to my purse in the kitchen. My idea must have distracted me from the sound of glass being swept up into a dustpan, so when I came out of the bedroom and she stood, we both startled each other. "Good heavens!" she exclaimed. She was a brunette with short hair, friendly eyes, and a few extra pounds around her waist. I'd guess she was probably in her 50s. She certainly wasn't his housekeeper. The resemblance was apparent. Logan's mother was cleaning up the glass I'd broken when her son was going down on me. I wanted to melt into the floor and disappear forever. "You must be Logan's girlfriend," she said, "the one he refuses to let me meet." Everything went cold, and my mind went to war with itself, torn between anger and hurt. How could we have done all of that last night if he wasn't single? I hadn't been allowed to ask questions, but I had assumed I wouldn't need to ask that one. How could he? "Oh." That was all I could say, when I really wanted to say, "Oh, shit." How was I going to explain I wasn't his girlfriend to his mom? She knew I'd come out of his bedroom. The dress I was wearing was not Sunday brunch attire. If I wasn't his girlfriend, then that made me the girl he was fucking on the side, which apparently I was. My growing anger and embarrassment was getting to be too much.
"Yes."
His voice came from the bedroom doorway, drawing our attention.
"Yes, this is her."
The asshole had pulled on a pair of pants, and his eyes pleaded with me to play along. I let mine go narrow. Why should I do what he wanted? He had a girlfriend for that. "Well, it's nice to meet you, Evelyn," his mother said to me, extending a hand. "I'm Susan." Wait, what? How did she know my name? It couldn't be coincidence. There weren't many women from my generation named Evelyn. I stared at her hand like it was alien, and then slowly shook it, trying not to be rude. When I let go, I turned to Logan and his face was blank. What the hell was going on?
"I gave you that key for emergencies," he said to her.
"You didn't answer your phone, and when I came in, I saw the broken glass."
"We're fine."
"Well, can you hurry up then? We're already late."
"Late? What time is it?"
His eyes searched for a clock.
"Fuck."
She straightened at the obscenity. "Language, please. Will you be coming too?" She eyed my dress with concern. "No," I said. It didn't matter what it was. All I wanted now was to get the hell out of there. "I need to get going."
"Wait a minute, let me get dressed and drive you home," he said.
Susan sighed and pinched the bridge of her nose. "I cannot miss another one of his meets. Are you going with me or not?" There was enormous conflict in his eyes.
"Yes, but I need a minute. Evelyn, can we—"
The whiplash from hurt and anger to overwhelming confusion and suspicion was crippling. I had to escape, to flee before I lost it. "Forget it, I've got to run. Nice meeting you."
"No."
He stalked toward me, but I snatched up my purse and glared back. I tried to make sure he knew it would be better to let me be. "Oh, wait," Susan said. "I think this is yours. It's got your name on it." She lifted up the fat envelope of cash, but I don't think she noticed her action wound the tension tighter between Logan and me. If I told her to leave it, that it was Logan's, would she take a peek inside? I grabbed the envelope. He followed me to the door.
"Please, wait. I need to talk to you."
"You can call me later." The scrutiny of his mother's gaze was heavy, and I needed relief. I needed relief from his panicked eyes. He couldn't ask me for my number if he wanted to keep up the charade that I was his girlfriend. So the idiot leaned in and tried to kiss me goodbye, but I anticipated this tactic. I shifted my head at the last second so his kiss fell on a cheek, and I hurried through the door before he could stop me. My walk of shame was thankfully short. I turned my phone back on during the cab ride home and discovered I had a half dozen missed calls and 18 text messages. Two were from Peyton, and the rest were from Blake. They ranged from apology to concern, and I deleted them. My head was a fucking mess. The likelihood of Logan calling me was next to nothing. My cell phone number was too close to a Thai restaurant's, and last month I'd given up trying to explain to annoyed customers that they dialed wrong. I hadn't gotten around to updating my work file with a new number, because weekend emergencies didn't happen in graphics. By the time I was done showering, I'd replayed the conversation in my mind several times. What I knew for a fact was he'd told his mother he had a girlfriend. After that, it was speculation. Either his mother didn't know my name and had seen it on the envelope, or he'd told her we were dating. I was dressed and about to call Peyton when my front door buzzed. "Yes?" I asked.
"Evie, thank God you're okay."
Blake's voice crackled through the intercom.
"Can I come up?"
There was no putting him off, so I jammed my finger on the button. A minute later, he was through my door, pulling me into his arms.
"Are you all right?"
He crushed me against his body.
"Don't you realize how dangerous that was, going home with some random guy from that place?"
I pushed away from his embrace. "He's not random, he's my boss."
"Is that some sort of sex club term?"
"No," I snapped. "He's my boss, as in the manager of the graphics department." Blake's face contorted in a mixture of horror and confusion.
"You know him?"
"Yeah." And no, not at all. I folded my legs beneath me on the couch, and seconds later he joined me. He looked like he hadn't slept at all. I wondered what he'd told Amy, but didn't bother to ask. It didn't matter. His angry comment to Peyton had shown me a side I hadn't seen before, and it was going to be tough to repair the damage.
"I know I shouldn't have said it when I did, but I'm not sorry I said it."
Even with the exhaustion, he looked handsome. Just like the man I had been in love with until last night.
"I love you."
It came out just as forced as last time. I leaned forward and cradled my head in my hands. "I can't deal with this right now." My phone chimed with a new email. It wasn't my personal account, it was the office. It could only be one person. Typical form for his emails, it was short and direct.
"I need your number. The one on file is incorrect."
I set my phone down on the coffee table and pushed it away. I decided to deal with the man sitting beside me first. "If you love her, then go love her. Peyton's right. Amy deserves a man who's honest with her, and so do I." My eyes ticked over to the phone and then back to him. "If we were meant to get together, I think it would have happened for us."
"It's all messed up, I know. Tell me what you want. Do you still love me?"
"I seriously cannot have this conversation right now."
"Why?"
What the hell did he mean, why? Because I just had the most amazing sex of my life last night with a man who was fascinating. His comment about next time danced through my brain and tortured me. "Last night was way intense," I said. "I haven't processed an ounce of it yet. But since you brought it up, I guess you remember New Year's Eve." His expression softened.
"I think about it a lot."
"Did you tell Amy about it?" I knew his answer would be no, because it's not awkward between Amy and me. At least not on her end, unless she's some sort of insanely gifted actress. I highly doubt she'd let Blake continue his friendship with me in its current capacity if she knew I was in love with her boyfriend. When he didn't answer, I went to the door to show him out. "I need you to give me some space right now. I'll call you later in the week." When he didn't move, I worried he wouldn't go, but he sighed and came to me, his hand cupping my face.
"We'll figure it out."
My phone chimed with another email, breaking the spell he had on me. I locked the door behind him when he left and hurried to check the email. This time it was my address and,
"I'll be there in 20 minutes.
I emailed Logan back, wanting to meet on neutral ground, in public, so I'd be less likely to murder him. Also, a place with no beds in sight. "I won't let you in. See you tomorrow, boss." Getting ready for work is usually a chore. It's a battle to figure out what I wore recently so I'm not repeating outfits, and to make sure I'm dressing appropriately for the weather. It's only a few blocks from the CTA stop to the office building, but my day can be ruined before it starts if it's raining and I'm not prepared. Today was difficult on a whole new level. I pulled on my favorite bra and panty set, a baby pink one with tiny black polka dots, hoping it would make me feel like everything was okay and I wasn't about to endure the most uncomfortable day of work in my life. I dressed in tan crop pants and a cream-colored blouse with glossy tan pumps, one of my newest outfits, which I accessorized with a coral-colored statement necklace. I try to dress the line between designer and business professional, and this is one of the few outfits I think pulls it off. My pumps were tossed into my oversized purse, right beside the envelope of cash I'd have to give to him. Maybe I'd wait until he went to lunch and put it on his desk. That was a lot of money to leave in the open. I was sure he'd come find me anyway. There'd been no response to my email, and I found that a little scary. I tried to read my book on the train ride in, but I kept scanning the same page over and over again and absorbing none of it. I had planned on coming in early, thinking I could get past his office door and to my cube before he was in. But I took too long getting ready and wound up 10 minutes late. His light was on and the door open as I came down the hall. All I could hope was he wasn't in his office right now. I breathed a sigh of relief when I found it empty, and that sigh died in my throat when I turned the corner into my cube.
"You're late," Logan said,
his face dark. I'd taken my time and selected what I thought was my best attire, and I had the suspicion he'd done the same. His steel-colored button-down shirt looked flawless against his tan skin, and I knew exactly where below his black pants the tan stopped. His tie was the perfect shade of gunmetal gray, and for a moment, I wondered if I could pull out my Pantone deck and find the matching swatch. I set my bag down and pulled out my chair to sit. "Yes, I'm running behind this morning."
"Can we speak in my office?"
I wasn't going to make it easy on him. Only if it's work-related. His expression didn't change in the slightest.
"What else would it be?"
He left me there, wordlessly demanding I follow. My blood boiled. I remained in the doorway of his office, as if that would keep him from trapping me there. He held up a frosted envelope, a job jacket with the design specs and guidelines.
"This is the good food jacket. They want a complete identity rebrand," he said. "No green." The client was adamant. "Modern, but not trendy or pretentious."
This was a huge job, and the fact that he was assigning it to me temporarily let me forget about the awkwardness. "You're giving it to me?"
"You don't think you can handle it?"
he said, maybe concerned I hadn't ripped it from his hands yet. "No, I can. I feel comfortable taking on a project of this size." I took the jacket from him, disoriented when he didn't say anything. He wasn't even looking at me. It looked like he was scanning his email. How did he not want to talk about what happened?
"Did you need something else?"
he asked, like I was hovering over him annoyingly. Then I understood. This was another test, a game. He wanted me to initiate the conversation. Not a chance. Just to say thanks. My heels were silent on the carpet as I exited his office, a smile on my lips. This was a game I would win. Getting the Good Foods account couldn't have come at a better time. I worked through lunch researching the client and reading their complaints with their current branding over and over again, so I could address their issues in the best way possible. I never saw him during the day, but at 4:45, I got an email from Logan without a subject line, and I held my breath.
"I need you to vectorize this logo for a client, and they need it ASAP. Since you were late, you can stay late."
When I opened the file, I cursed at the screen. It was a piece of crap image composed of 10 different gradients and mesh fills. There was no way I could run a trace program on it. I'd have to redraw it from scratch, and it would take at least an hour. This was bullshit busy work. Punishment. It's amazing how the office clears out at 5 minutes after five, with people dashing to make their trains. I shoved my headphones on and got to work, jealous, but this was totally like Logan, and it was fair. I had been late. I finished the logo in record time, my annoyance fueling me to the end. As soon as I was composing an email to Logan with the finished artwork attached, a new email appeared from him. He was still here?
Come to my office now and bring the envelope.
I dug it out of my purse and thundered into his office, slamming it down on the desk, startling him. Good night. I spat and turned on my heel to leave.
Enough,
he said, standing.
Close the door. We need to talk.
It's what I wanted, and yet I dreaded it. He must have sensed my hesitation.
Let me sweeten the deal, then.
There was an edge of unease in his voice.
Rules 1 and 2 apply.
I spun, incredulous. How is that sweetening the deal?
Because they apply to me.
Chapter 9. The door banged loudly when I closed it. I may have been a little too forceful in my eagerness. He wasn't allowed to ask me questions, but had to answer all of mine honestly. That did sound pretty fucking sweet.
Lock it,
he said. Why? He looked uncomfortable.
Because I'm hoping we're going to end up fucking in here.
Well, that was an honest answer, but I felt like turning the bolt on the door was agreeing to it.
Better safe than sorry,
he added. I flipped the lock and sauntered over to the chair facing his desk, the same one I'd revealed my horrible mistake in. Why don't you take a seat? I asked. Even though this was his office, I was the one in control. He lowered back into his chair, his gaze fixed on me. Why do you look so nervous?
Because I don't know what questions you're going to ask.
This was your idea, I reminded. Do you have a girlfriend? A small amount of relief seemed to run through him as he sat back.
No, I don't.
A much larger amount of relief coursed through me. Then why did you tell your mother I was?
My brother's getting married this weekend, my younger brother. She's convinced I'm not ever going to get married, and it's too late for me now that I'm over 30.
He loosened the knot of his tie and unbuttoned his sleeves, rolling them up as he continued talking.
She forbid me to show up at the wedding dateless, using that as an excuse to fix me up with someone horrible, so I told her I was seeing someone.
And you picked me?
She asked me for a name, and I gave her yours.
I found that a little difficult to believe. My name was the first one to pop in your head? A mischievous smile grew on his face.
Yes. I couldn't believe my dumb luck when she came in and dropped your name.
What was your plan when you showed up dateless to the wedding?
I'd tell her that you broke up with me, and I was going to be too depressed to chat with any of the available women she wanted to unleash on me.
Okay. One major chunk of information sorted through. Now on to the other one. How did you know I was at the club?
Pass.
I'm sorry, pass?
We'll come back around to it in a minute.
When I opened my mouth to protest, he added,
I'm not violating the rule. It says I have to answer it and answer it truthfully. It doesn't say when I have to do it.
I don't know which I was more irritated about, the fact he hadn't answered or that I hadn't known I could do that when his rules applied to me. Where did you get the money?
My 401k.
My eyes fell on the envelope sitting on the desk. Oh, God. I didn't pay much attention to investing, but my uncle was an accountant and had helped set up my account. The one thing he'd stressed was to not touch my 401k under any circumstances because the penalties were steep. I'd only been working at the agency for 2 years, so what I'd accrued would have been wiped out if I'd tried. So what this meant was Logan hadn't really paid 12 grand of his money for me. He'd paid even more. Why would you do that? He looked guilty.
Part of me felt responsible. I'd come to trust your work, so I had barely glanced at the proof you'd sent me.
His eyes changed,
and turned warm and seductive.
A much larger part of me did it because I wanted to.
Why? I think I blushed.
Because I thought you'd be amazing.
I don't know why I was nervous when he was the one being interrogated. So, was I?
Didn't I make it clear that you were?
My breath was gone for a half second, and then returned with the realization. Wait, was that a question? That meant he was supposed to have consequences. But my brain failed me. I couldn't come up with any kind of playfully torturous thing to do to him that wouldn't be torturous for me as well. Answer my question. How did you know about the club? He looked a little disappointed. That was all I'd come up with.
Come here, and I'll show you.
I sighed and got out of the chair, taking 3 steps to get behind his desk, when he stood abruptly and pulled me against him. What are you... He silenced me with one of his mind-numbing kisses. It wasn't a delicate, soft kiss. It was an aggressive, controlling, devouring one. He'd slipped a hand behind my neck, and the other was tight on my ass, pressing me against him. I struggled to stay above it, but I was drowning in him. Desire flashed white-hot through my body, straight to the center of my legs. You're not showing me anything I don't already know, I murmured between kisses, going back for more. The hand on my ass traveled to the front, dragging slowly up in the valley between my thighs. The button to my pants was undone in a heartbeat, and he broke the kiss, turning me in his arms so I faced the computer.
I need you to send an email,
he said. His breathing was steady and controlled, but I was already hopelessly out of breath. He sat in his chair, making sure I understood he wanted me to stand, and he opened a new email compose window. I'd have to lean over him to do it while standing. Who is the email going to? I asked, not moving.
Evelyn Russell.
You want me to send an email to myself?
Yes.
His eyes were smug. I gave him an exasperated look and bent at the waist, putting my hands on his keyboard. I typed in E and V and let autofill do the rest. What's the subject? I asked.
Computer usage policy.
I started to type when his hands closed around my waist and unzipped the zipper, yanking my pants down past my knees. The air on my naked skin was almost as shocking as the action itself.
I like these,
he said, running a hand over the back of my pink panties.
Keep typing, please.
Because I'd only gotten 3 letters into computer before turning to him in surprise. He'd rolled his chair back so he was directly behind me, and his hands kneaded my skin, skirting the edges of my panties. What are you doing?
Dictating an email to you because my hands are busy.
I typed the rest of it, not bothering to put it in title case like I usually do. Confusion making this easy task seem like brain surgery.
Evelyn,
he said,
you may or may not remember.
His fingertips brushed over the crotch of my rapidly dampening panties, making me jump.
You should be typing now.
I typed in a hurry, and when my finger stopped moving, he started.
The company computer usage document you signed when you were hired.
He rubbed the spot that was aching for him through the fabric. I tried to focus on the words and not what he was doing or the desire that was sinking its powerful claws into me.
I'd like to remind you that your manager has monitoring software, he said.
He tugged the panties to the side and exposed me to him, dragging his hand over my bare flesh.
And that your system should only be used for work-related tasks.
What the hell was he talking about? I didn't use my computer for non-work things when I was supposed to be working. I don't understand why... He buried a finger inside me, and I moaned. I can't type when you do that. It felt so different at this angle. A new kind of pleasure. Plus, I couldn't get over how incredibly hot and naughty it was, what we were doing right at his desk. Yet what he had me typing also had my brain confused and fighting for attention.
You must find this distracting,
he said in a low, sexy voice. Then he returned to the tone for dictation.
You should not use your system to check personal email or social media, even during breaks.
His finger drew back and then plunged into me again and again.
Type, Evelyn.
My fingers fumbled over the keyboard. I saw the red underline of a misspelled word and fixed it, all while he had my panties bunched to one side and fucked me with a finger. I was impossibly wet, and I knew his face was fixed on my ass right in front of him.
Thank you for your understanding, Logan.
As soon as the words were gone from his mouth, he leaned forward in his chair and put his tongue on me. Oh, shit, I cried. My legs shook when his tongue caressed me. The need that gripped my body threatened to break me.
Send it,
he whispered, barely taking his lips off of my skin. I clicked the button, but remained as I was. There was no way I was going to stop him, but my goddamn brain wouldn't shut up, and the distraction was keeping me from getting where I wanted him to take me. I still don't understand.
I saw the club's logo on that email the owner sent you, and I was curious who designed it.
He leaned back and peeled my panties down to my knees.
I thought you might be freelancing, so after you left my office, I watched your computer.
I had forgotten he had those capabilities. I'd thought I was safe since it was my personal account, and I hadn't said much in the email. There wasn't anything in the email, though. The warmth of his face returned. His tongue slipped inside me, and then, like he'd done at the club, it drifted further to the spot that brought me pleasure, but also made me uncomfortable. Dirty and wrong, but felt so good. Stop. I can't think when... You're going down on me.
I don't want to stop.
He locked his hands on my hips and licked me front to back, drawing a shiver from my body.
You'd said you were getting the money Saturday night, and the owner said to bring the contract with you on Saturday.
He shoved two fingers into me, filling me as his mouth sucked.
All I had to do,
he continued,
was email the guy and say you'd referred me to him. He spelled it all out for me.
My hands balled into fists as the fracture in my brain widened. What did you think when you found out?
I was excited you were... are,
he corrected,
interested in that kind of thing. But I was worried about you and pissed off. I almost gave you the money on Friday to stop you. But if I gave you the money, shouldn't I get something in return? I've wanted you forever. So I could give you the money, get what I wanted, and have you never know it was me.
What? My hips moved subtly with his rhythm, asking for more. Forever? I was getting close. Was I supposed to tell him yellow?
I wasn't planning to take off your blindfold.
He couldn't see the shocked look on my face. It was hard to imagine it now, in retrospect. What if he hadn't? I'd have gone to work every day, completely oblivious. Why did you?
I didn't like you not knowing it was me. And I figured I was safe from a sexual harassment complaint once you were begging for me to do this.
The air left my lungs when he stopped talking and shoved his face into my pussy. I arched my back, and with the confusion finally sorted out, I came in a heated rush, collapsing on the cool desktop, electricity washing through every inch of my body. For a moment, the only sound was my heavy breathing.
You're supposed to only come on my cock.
His voice was wicked. The wheels of his chair squeaked as he rose, and there was the sound of his belt and zipper being undone. I was still recovering when a condom wrapper tore open.
If I could, I'd ask you if you want this.
The head of his dick slipped between my folds, teasing me. It was a question framed as a statement. He was already doing so much better than I did. Yes. Do you?
Fuck yes.
He wasn't as gentle this time when he pushed inside me. Whoa, I gasped in discomfort. Slower.
Sorry,
he whispered, freezing. He held still and let me slowly back myself onto him until he was as deep as he could go. Move, I half commanded, half begged. He did as I asked, easing himself out and then back in at a luxurious pace. Here, on his desk, with all the lights on and my panties around my knees,
His hands roved over my body, slipping under my shirt to cup my bra-covered chest.
"Take off your shirt,"
he said. I tore it up over my head, and he made a noise of appreciation when he saw the bra. I had wanted to talk to him in a place safe from beds, but somehow when I dressed this morning, I knew it was irrelevant. I was going to let him have me again if he could explain himself adequately, so I'd worn the sexiest lingerie I owned for him. He filled his hands with my breasts, the pads of his thumbs skimming over the sensitive flesh just above the low-cut cups.
"You should ask me what I'm thinking about,"
he urged. "Oh, right. I'd forgotten about that perk. What are you thinking about?"
"That the cleaning crew has a key to my office and will be here soon."
I had been expecting something sexy, and that definitely wasn't it.
"So I'm going to fuck you hard and fast," he continued. "Feel free to come as many times as you like."
That was better. He drove into me, thrusting harder and harder with each pass until I was breathless and frantic. My fingers clawed at the desk, seeking something to hold on to, and found the edge out before me. I curled my hands around it as he grabbed a fistful of hair at the base of my skull. He pulled back, hard. It wasn't painful, but it made me crazy with lust. He put his lips on the side of my neck. This made me channel my inner porn star. "Do you like my tight pussy?"
"I fucking love it."
Oh shit, he was going to make me come. His furious thrust sent my hip bones banging into the drawer of his desk, but I didn't care. All I could think about was the release that threatened and the blood rushing in my ears. But if that's all I could think about, what about him? "What are you thinking about now?" He hesitated. "Rule 2, Logan."
"I'm thinking about how you'll react if I do this."
He licked the pad of his thumb and slipped it between my cheeks, pressing down on my other entrance. This felt dirty, but not as bad as what he'd done with his mouth. Naughty. Taboo. I was curious. Peyton enjoyed the anal stuff. She wouldn't say that if it weren't true. "It feels good," I admitted. He jerked inside me like my willingness turned him on. He pounded into me, and slowly he increased the pressure until he could slip his thumb up to the first knuckle into my ass. It was shocking and foreign and made me tremble.
"I want to know how that feels," he said between breaths, "if you want me to go further."
Honestly, I had no idea. I was so close to going over the edge I felt scattered. "I just want you to make me come."
"I can do that," he said.
His other hand slid to my waist so he could shift the angle of my body to one where I could feel all of him at once, both inside and out. I slapped a hand on the desktop, dragging it squealing down. Oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. This orgasm outdid the first. It was fast but intense, and bliss rolled through me. He didn't slow down like he had the other times. He kept up his driving pace. His breath became louder, labored and short, as his thrusts were more frantic. He was as hard as a rock inside me, filling me. I could sense he was so close, and I wanted him to lose control like he made me. "Are you going to come?"
"Fuck yes. Right fucking now."
His body drove into me a final time, and then he was moaning again and again. God, listening to him made my insides quiver, and the feeling of him pulsing inside me was like nothing else. He made me believe no other man could satisfy me. He caught his breath before I did, and he fell back into his chair. His hands pulled me so I was sideways on his lap.
"We should probably get dressed."
He lifted my chin and kissed me softly.
"I want to have dinner with you."
"Do the rules apply?"
"Until we leave my office."
I gave him a coy smile. "We can order in."
"It's too hard to have a conversation without questions."
That was true, and we hadn't really had one.